your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, April 27th, 2021. Getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the first round of the NFL draft Thursday, April 29th. Very excited about that. Your boy Q here with you as always. Got an action-packed show for you today, just again to get you excited and get you in the mood for the NFL draft. And this whole week is going to be action-packed. I got a lot in the cooker, man. A lot in the pressure cooker that I'm working on right now. And so today's show is just like that. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Probably only be able to get to a handful of calls and texts depending on how long the show is at the time when I get to segment number three. Because in segment number two, my old tag team partner, James R. Solana, Black Hole Banter. You can find James on Twitter at Oakland Above All. He joins the show to talk all things Raiders draft. Raiders specific. I mean, I had Daniel Jeremiah, his breakdowns as it could pertain to the Raiders on Monday's show, but this is all 100% specific about the Raiders. He has a draft guide that he put out that actually has a 50 players that he profiles in it, and he's got 10 copies that he's going to be giving out to any listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast that hits him up on Twitter, Oakland Above All. That's at Oakland Above All. Hit him up so you can get your Raiders draft guide. It's specific to the Raiders alone. That's it. It's not about any other team in the league. It's all Raiders. He does it every year, does a really good job. He sells it for $2. So if you want to buy it, you can just go to his Twitter and you can see it at Oakland Above All. But again, he's got 10 free copies that he's going to be giving out to any listeners here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So that's coming up in segment number two. You'll hear the conversation that we had Monday evening. Then here in segment number one, news and notes of the day. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. And got a couple things related to the Raiders and then a couple things just related to the NFL in general. And the first one, apparently the Raiders are still keeping tabs and showing interest in defensive lineman Melvin Ingram and Casey Hayward, both guys, former Chargers. They played for defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. Of course, Casey Hayward, I think that he's a really, really good veteran defensive back that the Raiders could use. Two-time Pro Bowler, 23 career interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 2 forced fumbles, 76-plus coverage rating, top 10 since 2012, and he was a second-round pick of the Packers. Teams that apparently are interested in him right now, the Raiders, Packers, Jets, and Falcons. So I think that would be a really good signing. They're not going to sign anybody till after the draft as far as these guys go. Melvin Ingram and Casey Hayward, I don't think any of these guys will get signed until after the draft, but I would not have any problem if the Raiders decided to go ahead and put Casey Hayward in the silver and black, especially since he knows Gus Bradley's defense. You know, we talk about Richard Sherman a lot being a veteran corner that knows Gus Bradley. Well, Casey Hayward does as well. He's a little bit younger than Richard Sherman, and I think that he would do a really good job. But either way you look at it, apparently there's still interest to improve that defense for the Raiders with defensive lineman Melvin Ingram and Casey Hayward. Now, I said that the Raiders won't sign any one of those guys till after the draft. Well, they did sign a guy on Monday, a tight end, Carson Williams. And the thing about Carson Williams, this is an ex-basketball player. The Raiders sent out an email saying that Williams is 6'5", 240-pound tight end, joins the Raiders for his first NFL season. Played basketball for 2 years from 2016 to 2017 at Northern Kentucky before transferring to Western Kentucky for his remaining 3 collegiate seasons, 2018 to 20. He played forward, appearing in 124 combined games over 4 years while making 117 starts, averaged 11 points per game, 5.9 rebounds, and 1.3 assists during his college career. Goes on to talk about where he's from, named Kentucky's Mr. Basketball as a senior in 2016, talking about the points he scored, all the rebounds he had. But that's it. That's all there is on Carson Williams. A basketball player, 6'5", 240 pounds. The Raiders signed him on Monday, and I'll just go ahead and cut to the chase. This is a dude that's going to be there for right now. Don't expect much from Carson Williams. He's just a guy who will most likely get cut before training camp or during training camp, but he doesn't look like he's going to be anyone with the Raiders. Julio Jones, He's a player, right? He's on the trade block. That report came out on Monday. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network put that out. Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback put it out as well. Apparently, Atlanta is listening for offers on Julio Jones. They're saying that it's going to take a one to get him. I don't believe that. It'll probably take a two. But with that being said, I don't want the Raiders to go down that road anyway. No need to go down that road with a 32-year-old wide receiver that is going to be a major, major cap hit. The Falcons can't even really officially trade him until after June 1st so they can save $15 million against the cap. But if they trade him before June 1st, it would be a $23 million cap hit. He's basically owed $38 million the next 3 years. He's 32, hasn't played 16 games. He only played nine in 2020. Hasn't played 16 games in a while. Yes, he's a great wide receiver when he's out there and healthy, but I think at this point, the Raiders do not need to go down that rabbit hole of trying to trade for Julio Jones. I saw a couple people on Twitter talking about Raiders, go make the move. Mayock, Gruden, get on it. I say no thank you. Please don't do that. I don't think there's any reason to do that at all. Also wanted to tell you about the NFL pushing for teams to go get the vaccine. Now, they can't officially tell you you have to go get the vaccine. They can't. But the NFL told teams that it has agreed with the NFLPA that effective immediately, fully vaccinated individuals will be required to test weekly instead of daily, with no re-entry testing after travel, no quarantine if identified as a high-risk close contact. That's per source. And that was actually late last week. I believe that was Friday that that rolled out. And I just wanted to bring that to the table because, again, they're basically trying to push you to make sure you go get the vaccine without saying you're required to. But if you can avoid missing time as a high-risk close contact just by having the vaccine, that makes all the sense in the world. Of course, earlier in the offseason, they said that any of the staff that doesn't get vaccinated won't be tier one or tier two, so they won't be able to work hand in hand with players. So again, they're just kind of pushing the issue, trying to do everything they can to influence you to go get the vaccine without telling you, look, you have to go get the vaccine. So that's the way it is. It's how the NFL is operating. And I think that's really how a lot of companies are operating across the country. You know, they're going to encourage and push and push and push without just requiring something because legally they can't do that. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast news and notes of the day. I cut it off a little bit short because I want to get into segment number two, which is my conversation with James Arcelana as we talk all things NFL draft as it pertains to the Raiders and talks about his draft guide that he has 50 players profiled that all could be in play for the Raiders starting on Thursday with the first round of the NFL draft. That's coming up in segment number two. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. And this week has tons of sports action to be involved in. The NFL draft is on Thursday. The Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Check them out today. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join me now on the phone lines to talk a little Raiders draft as we're now just a couple days away. Thursday, April 29th, it all gets kicked off. The first round of the draft, the Raiders are picking at 17. Joining me is a guy that you're very, very familiar with, my tag team partner, the guy who really helped get it all started when it comes to the podcasting thing, James Arcelana, formerly of the Black Hole Banter podcast. I know me and James, we kind of retired that a little earlier, but James is on the phone lines. And James, how pumped up are you, or maybe how pumped up are you not for the draft on Thursday night?
Well, first of all, what up, Raider Nation? It's good to talk to you all again. Man, I'm always hyped for the draft. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, as a Raiders fan, it's a double-edged sword, right? We have seen a lot of draft days come and go that were not the best experiences for us, but it's also where hope lies, right? This is, you know, Super Bowl teams are made through the draft. And so it's always exciting for me because there's so much possibility and so much potential. And this is the Raiders team and needs a lot of help. And there's a lot of players in this draft that can help them. So I'm definitely excited.
Yeah. And you know very well about a lot of the players that can help the Raiders, because each and every year, something that I've always admired about you is something that you do every year is you put together a draft guide. And like a lot of people put draft guides out, but you put them out specifically on the Raiders and players that can help the Raiders, people that have been talked about to the Raiders. And it is 100% specific Raiders draft guide. I think it's the only one out there, and you've done that again this year. So kind of let us know about the different details that go along into it and just how you put this whole thing together.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So like you said, you know, we talked about this on the podcast before. We got into this whole thing because we're Raiders fans and we love Raiders content. And we felt the need to put more Raiders content out there because we knew that there are people like us who just never got enough. And so that's kind of what was the thought process behind the draft guide. I love the draft, but you know, the most of the draft content is general to everyone. And with so many teams needing so many different players, it's easy to find a lot of information, but not a lot of information tailored to the team that you care about, right? And that's for us, that's the Raiders. So every year I do a draft guide. What I do is I look at the top needs for the team, and then I put together profiles for players who not only address those needs, right? So like right tackle, safety, the six that I go through this year, right tackle, safety, interior defensive line, slot corner, offensive guard, and linebacker. And so even within that, you know, the fact that I break it down to slot corner and not just corners, I'm going based on specifically what the Raiders need, right? So the cornerbacks in my guide are primarily slot cornerbacks because that's the biggest need right now. You know, when I talk about interior D-line, I talk a lot about pass rush because Gus Bradley's defense relies a lot of pass rush on the front four. So I'm not looking at interior defensive line guys who can give a push. So, you know, what I do is I break them down, and then each profile, I talk generally pros and cons of the player. And then I talk about why those matter to the Raiders, right? Does this guy fit in the system? Does he not fit in the system? Does he fit what John Gruden looks for in players or not? Does he fit, you know, the style of play for the Raiders, you know, whether it's on offensive linemen, does he fit what Tom Cable is looking to do? And so with each profile, I talk about why they are or not a good fit. I give an idea of where I think they might go and where I think the Raiders, you know, why they would be in a good fit for the Raiders or not a good fit for the Raiders, not just based on the player, but also where they might go in the draft. So, you know, it really is broken down specifically for Raiders fans. It's really about Raiders fans who, you know, maybe didn't have enough time to do deep dive research on it. And so, you know, I've got 50 guys in here that on draft day, you know, before draft day, you can obviously read and educate yourself. But on draft day, you at least have 50 profiles for players that you understand what their fit is with the Raiders or not.
And James, before we really deep dive into it and get some of your thoughts on some of these players that could potentially be Raiders come Thursday, come Friday, come Saturday, let everyone know exactly how they could pick up your guide.
Yeah, so just hop on Twitter, go to my Twitter handle, @OaklandAboveAll, and the pinned tweet is right there. Basically, it's only $2. I always try to make it a price point that everyone can afford. So $2, you can hit me on Venmo, PayPal, or Cash App. You send me $2, include your email address, and I email you the guide. Super easy. We've already so far, it's been out for a little over a week, and so far, I believe we have 230 guides that have gone out so far. Nice. So it's definitely a popular thing, and I'm really happy that Raiders fans are enjoying it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I'm just going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag right now. I plan on purchasing at least 10 of them that you can give out to any random Raider fan that's listening to this and hears it and is interested and hits you up. So I'm going to make sure that I have at least 10 of them in the bag already so we can give those out and you can give them out just because, again, you put in a lot of hard work. So at the end of the day, man, you should definitely be taken care of. So that's already going to be a given. I got you.
That's awesome. And definitely, like, all of Q's fans are absolutely some of the best Raiders fans are out there. So very happy that you're willing to provide them to them and happy to get them to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go ahead and do a deep dive into this draft. And of course, you know, when you're a fan of an NFL team, you always look at the first round pick and say, okay, where does my team pick at and who's the player going to be? So, I mean, the Raiders have 8 picks as of right now in this upcoming draft, but the first round pick is number 17. And you mentioned some of the needs. You mentioned right tackle. You mentioned safety. You mentioned linebacker, slot corner at 17 right now. And I know that, you know, the board could fall any kind away. What ideally in your mind do you think would be the best direction for the Raiders to go?
So, you know, it's funny. My mind has changed on this so many times in the past couple of months. Originally I really wanted offensive tackle because Number one, it's a huge need both in terms of what the Raiders need, but also in terms of positional importance, right? I think safety and tackle are two of their most important needs, but tackle is just a much more important position, right? It's more important than linebacker, which is a big need. It's more important than most of the positions that they have. That being said, this is an insanely deep offensive tackle class. Right. I mean, you are getting starters in day two. So, you know, strategy-wise, part of me thinks that they should go with a defensive player on day one in round one because of the fact that they'll be able to get a starter likely in the second round. And so then I start thinking about guys that might start falling. And, you know, I started getting really excited about the idea of Micah Parsons falling because there's a lot of talk about him possibly falling. But then I switch it up, and where I'm at personally right now is Jeremiah Owusu-Koromona, okay. All right? And most people call him Jock, J-O-K right. for short.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker who excels in coverage, right? And while Parsons is an athlete who can absolutely become a good coverage linebacker, right now on third down, on passing downs, he's mostly a pass rusher. And Bradley really doesn't bring blitzes. So unless you're thinking of putting him on the defensive line on passing downs, Parsons' immediate impact isn't quite fitted to what the Raiders have, right? And what the Raiders need. And Jock is. This is a guy who, in my mind, has that elite athleticism to really be an elite style player. Now, does he need some work? Absolutely. Is he a guy who the Raiders are going to need to coach up a little bit? Absolutely. But he has those elite abilities and athleticism that you can't teach. And that's what's needed in the NFL these days because it's such a passing league. So he's a guy that really excites me. And some people will say 17 is a little too early to him. I understand that. If they can trade back, even better. However, at 17 for me, you're getting a guy who is automatically the best linebacker on your team and possibly one of the best players on your defense. So I'm not too worried about the idea that maybe it's a little bit early for him at 17. I think it's perfectly fine. I think he's really maybe a early 20s guy. So you're only talking about maybe like 5-6 picks early. It's not like grabbing a guy who was supposed to be a third rounder or even a second rounder in my mind. So he's a guy that right now is really, I constantly have him on my mind.
You know, it's funny. He was like my first guy. You know, you said that how it made you change your mind multiple times throughout the process. He was the guy I was originally pounding the table for thinking, man, they need a difference maker on defense and he could be that dude for every reason you just mentioned. And then all of a sudden I let myself fall into the trap of thinking like I think the Raiders are thinking. And so I went with the offensive tackle and I said Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. But the more I'm thinking about it, because of what you said about the draft being deep at the tackle position, maybe they could go get a difference maker on defense. Maybe they could get a Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. I know a lot of talk is about Micah Parsons as well. And, I mean, I'm really okay with both of them. I know the concerns that you have with Parsons as far as, you know, not really being a coverage guy on third down. But is any of the concerns with his character issues, some of the red flags that he possibly has, does any of that bother you and kind of say maybe he wouldn't be a great pick for the Raiders at 17 either?
So it doesn't really bother me in large part because if you look at a lot of this stuff, and I've done a little bit of a deep dive in the quote-unquote off-the-field issues for Parsons, none of it really rings out as being that concerning, especially when you consider some of the other things you've heard about players coming out in the draft.
Yeah.
The most concerning, you know, commentary was about the idea that he was in a fight with someone and he choked the guy until the guy felt the need to pull a knife on him. Well, my understanding is that that side of the story is mostly coming from the guy who was getting choked. And right. So clearly he's going to have his side of the story. I think Parsons is likely getting very good advice in his draft prep and being told, don't go down those rabbit holes. Don't go and talk about these allegations, you know, and he does a very good job so far of just, you know, saying, look, when I was younger, I made some mistakes. I've learned from them. I've grown from them. Some of his coaches said, look, 99.99% of the time, Micah Parsons is exactly the player we want him to be and the person we want him to be. Did he have some missteps in college? Sure. But he was a kid. You know what I mean? And right. So, you know, and a lot of it was hazing. And I think that if you're going to disqualify a player based on hazing, you likely would have disqualified most of the players that come in the NFL over the years. You just didn't know about it because it didn't become a news story. So, you know, you always have to be concerned about these things. You know, hearing the off-the-field issues, immediately you start worrying about Rolando McClain type situations.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I didn't see anything that really made me all that concerned.
All right, and that's fair, you know, and I've kind of documented it as well as different things that I've been seeing and different reports that have rolled out that I've seen and heard, and it's just, I mean, it's you know, it is what it is. I guess you got to evaluate the talent, and you got to figure out what you trust, what you believe, and what you don't believe. So, okay, if they go at 17, they go, say they go with a linebacker. Maybe they go with Jock, Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. Maybe they go with Parsons. Maybe they do end up taking the offensive tackle. I don't know. There's plenty of them in this draft. But at what point do you want to see them address the safety position? And is there a safety that stands out in your mind to you?
Yeah, so safety is a bit of an issue for the Raiders because personally, I don't think any of them are worth the number 17 pick. That's just me. I know a lot of people think Trevor Moehrig is the guy at 17. I personally don't think he's worth the number 17 pick. I think all of the safeties are second rounders. The problem is most of them are early second rounders, and the Raiders don't have an early pick. So they're kind of in a tough situation, but you know, Trevor Moehrig and Richie Grant are the two names that everyone loves. I prefer Richie Grant personally. Okay. I think he is a beast who's going to be really good. Javon Holland is another guy who some people see him as more of a slot corner. I think he could be a great safe free safety. He's a guy that might drop far enough to the Raiders in the second round. But, you know, there's some other guys that are later on that, you know, they have some upside. They might be stopgaps, may not be the permanent answer. But there are some talented guys a little bit later on. One of them who really sticks out to me, and people are going to really laugh at this because of my history with pumping up Carl Joseph, but another undersized safety, right? Another little guy, and this guy is little, are Darius Washington.
Yeah,
but when you watch him play, I mean, when you watch him play, he looks like a beast, but he is tiny. I mean, tiny. And so, you know, I don't know what to think of him, but if you can get him in the third or fourth round, right? If maybe even the fourth round on this guy, you know, maybe he only ends up being a depth piece for you, but I think he'd be a damn good depth piece. And maybe safety is a position, because this is such a weak class, that you're going with stopgaps for now or building depth. And then next year is when you really look to address it with the permanent fix, you know? Do I want a year of Jeff Heath at free safety? No. You know, I would take Carl Joseph, but it sounds like they're playing him at strong safety.
Yeah.
So, you know, do I want that? No. But again, positional importance, right? I think tackle is far more important than linebacker. I think corner is safety. I think corner is more important than safety. And even with how the Raiders are built, I do think linebacker is up there at an equal level of importance with safety. So, you know, it may just be one of those things that you don't want to reach. You don't want to go and get someone who, you know, isn't the right guy for the Raiders too early in the draft, because there's just not that many available. But, you know, there are some guys. I like Talanoa Hufanga, whose name I'm sure I just butchered, out of USC. I think he's a decent option. You know, so there are some guys a little bit later. Tyree Gillespie is another guy who could possibly be an answer. But, you know, I really don't love any of the safeties in this draft, let alone some of the deeper guys. But you never know.
Yeah, no, you don't. And it's always going to be a crapshoot. And, of course, there's going to be so many people that we talk about and we hype up, and then all of a sudden it's going to happen, and we're going to say, wait a minute, I didn't see that coming. And then we'll have to do our research and decide, you know, if we like the player or if we don't like the player or what's the situation. I mean, it's just kind of what it is. I just got a couple more questions for you, James. What do you make of the reports out there of the Raiders doing due diligence on the quarterbacks in the upper class of the quarterbacks, the guys that are going to be drafted on day one, them doing their due diligence, and maybe if one starts to fall, they would think about trading up for one? Do you put too much stock into that, or is that just, you know, conversation as usual the week before the draft?
I think that's just conversation as usual. Okay. First of all, if they had not done their research, I think that would have been a really bigger story, right?
Agreed.
If you don't do your research on a guy who could potentially fall to you, this is the NFL draft. Guys fall, right? No one expected Aaron Rodgers to be there when the Packers took him. Guys fall. And so what happens if one of them does fall to you? Even if you're not looking at taking him, you've got to have the information and the ammo ready if you're going to go start negotiating a trade back for someone who might want to jump up and get this guy. And so it would be incredibly inappropriate of them not to do that research. So it's a non-story to me. You know, I don't think for a second that they're going to move up and try to grab a quarterback. I think that if one of the quarterbacks were to fall to him, like if Fields lands there at 17, I think they'd have to consider it.
Right.
You'd be crazy not to consider it. But again, that doesn't mean that the Raiders are out there looking to replace Derek Carr. It doesn't mean that they are actively going to trade up. It just means that they are doing what they should be doing in their jobs and making sure that they are aware of all the top players in the draft. I'm sure they're looking at all kinds of players in the draft that they aren't necessarily going to take, but they've got to consider them, because if it comes to their lap unexpectedly and they have trade offers, or if it's a guy who's just that good, you've got to be able to be prepared to figure out what you're going to do in that situation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I was talking about it on Monday's show, and I was like, man, it's not a big deal. Everyone kind of lost their minds, like, oh, here go the Raiders again. I'm thinking, man, they're supposed to do their due diligence, right? Like, I thought that was kind of what they're supposed to do. And this is great stuff, Ben. And James, final question for you. As far as the draft comes and your draft guide that you put together, was there one guy that you profiled and researched and you really kind of came away thinking, damn, now I really would like to see the Raiders go get them? Was there one guy that kind of all of a sudden got your attention that might not have been so high on your radar to begin with?
Well, so Josh, the guy we already talked about, was really that guy for me, only because, you know, linebacker was one of the last position groups I looked into. I was really looking heavily at safety, heavily at offensive tackle, and decently heavy at cornerback. And linebacker was kind of an afterthought, but then I went in there and I started, you know, taking a look at it. And this guy just, you know, he went from, you know, a position that was kind of an afterthought to me to the guy who I want in the first round. So he's the guy who sticks out to me. Tevin Jenkins at offensive tackle is a guy who, if they want to go OT in the first round, he comes in and day one is a beast on the line. Alex Leatherwood is a guy. If the Raiders are looking at not going offensive tackle in the first round, going offensive tackle in the second round, Leatherwood is a guy who I think can step in day one, be a starter, and would be a great option for the Raiders, who should be available at their second round pick. And, you know, I'll leave it with this. What I said on Twitter the other day, I think that the Raiders' best chance of landing an impact player in the first round is offensive tackle, because there's so many good ones. But their best chance of landing two impact players in rounds one and two starters who come in right away and make a difference in this team, is going offensive tackle in the second round, because it's so deep, and then going with the best possible defender in the first round. And so there will be lots and lots of debates over who the best possible defender is once the pick comes around at 17, and I'm open to lots of them. But that, to me, is a draft strategy that the Raiders really need to go with, is recognizing that they can get a good starter in round two on offensive tackle and do something to help out that defense in round one.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Get a defensive stud immediately and then get an offensive tackle in a deep class. Yeah, I'm definitely okay with that. Let me ask you this. As far as the tackles go, and this is one of the guys that I suggested, and look, you'd have to get him in the first round, but I had mentioned Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech. He's a left tackle naturally. He'd have to kick over to the right side. Would you prefer to have him and have him kick over to the right side, or would you rather have Tevin Jenkins, who's a natural right tackle, and just have him just slide right into his spot?
Yeah, so I have Darrisaw ranked higher than Jenkins, and I think that Darrisaw is the better player regardless of the change. I'm not trying to downplay the difficulty of changing from one position to the other. It's incredibly difficult in the NFL. That being said, I think Darrisaw is a very elite talent. I think he's a damn good player. Right. I would be surprised if he's there at 17. Which is why I didn't mention him, and why I haven't talked a lot about him, is because I kind of assume he's going to be gone before then.
Okay.
But again, it's the draft. You never know. And if he's there at 17, I would probably lean him over Jenkins, even though Jenkins is a natural right tackle, just because it's a better quality player. You know, I think Darrisaw is a better player. So I would definitely lean him over Jenkins. I kind of have been acting on the assumption that he won't be there, but who knows? Maybe he will be.
Right, no doubt. I mean, like you said, it's a draft, and you never know. I didn't think that CeeDee Lamb was going to be at 17 last year for the Cowboys, and, well, he was, and that's a whole nother conversation. But, James, this is, hey, man, great stuff. It's always great catching up with you. Let everyone know again about your guide. Tell them how to get it and all that good stuff before we get out of here.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me, Q. I love being able to talk football with you. I'm really honored to anytime I get to speak to Raider Nation. And yeah, if you guys are interested in the guide, it's only $2 at Oakland Above All on Twitter. My pinned tweet has all the info for how to get it. And maybe you'll be one of the lucky 10 that Q is going to throw out for, and you won't even have to pay for it. I appreciate you, Q. Really appreciate you having me on, man.
So there was my conversation with James Arcelana talking all things Raiders draft as it comes up on Thursday, the first round. And if you're interested in his draft guide, go to his Twitter page at Oakland Above All and go get that thing. And of course, he has 10 free copies that he's going to be giving out, so definitely go ahead and check that out. It could be something that you can study up before the draft, or even after the Raiders make all their selections, then you can kind of do a little bit of research on all the players that you may not be familiar with. Anyway, he does a really good job, so I encourage you to go check that out. Coming up in segment number 3, calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about rockauto.com. They're a family business, been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they've got everything. Engine control parts, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet. Yeah, they got it. It doesn't matter if your car is a classic one or one you drive every single day. Everything you need is a few easy clicks away and it's delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique, super easy to navigate. You quickly can check all the parts available for your vehicle. You choose the brands, specifications, and most importantly, the prices that you prefer. That's right, the prices at RockAuto.com are super low and the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Right now, go to RockAuto.com, check out all the parts for your car or truck. While you're there, there's a box that said, "How'd you hear about us?" You write, "Locked On Raiders Podcast." That's how they know that I sent you and I'm doing my job. Great selection, great low prices, all the parts your car is ever going to need at one spot. That's RockAuto.com. Segment number 3, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a text from Jazzy Jeff from the Bay. Yo, Q. This is Jazzy Jeff from the Bay. I got some intel at the Raiders headquarters from a buddy of mine that I play COD with. He told me that Gruden really likes Alex Leatherhead from Alabama. He didn't tell me if he likes him good enough for 17th overall, first round, but he does like him. Let's hope it's not in the first round. I never said anything about my intel because I wanted to make sure the dude info was legit. Hopefully I can get some more info before the draft or during OTAs, but bear with me because I'm not trying to burn my access card with Buddy, if you know what I mean. LOL. That's from Jazzy Jeff from the Bay, and thank you for that text, my man, and I know what you meant. You meant Alex Leatherwood from Alabama. He was a left tackle at Alabama, and I think he's a second-round guy, so he'd probably be in the sweet spot for the Raiders to get. Not a first-round guy. I don't think you'd have to worry about that at all. Some of the pros and cons on him: tree trunk for arms. When he locks them out, defenders are doomed. Very stout lower half. Can be a true line of scrimmage mover. 14 big time blocks last year. Knows how to use length to his advantage, like a Venus flytrap closing on defenders. Pro ready. Depth in his pass sets. Nice balanced kick slide. Now the cons on him: plays with a ridiculously wide base, limits agility and recovery ability, gets cornered far too easily, a little stiff hipped, struggles to locate on the second level. Quick linebackers gave him problems. Tendency to lurch into contact rather than drive feet, leads to too many whiffs. He's projected to be a second round guy. Says Leatherwood doesn't have quite the athleticism you'd want from a top tier tackle, but he makes up for it with length and strength. Again, he sounds like a second round guy. Played a lot of left tackle for Alabama. He'd have to kick over to the right side. He only played, 12 snaps at right tackle in 2018, none in 19, and none in 20. Played 891 snaps at left tackle. So again, it's another guy that you'd have to kick over. He also, in 2018, played right guard, 922 snaps at guard. So maybe if you draft him and then he doesn't work out at the tackle position, you kick him inside the guard and he could be a force there. But really, the Raiders are looking for a legit right tackle right now. So he could be a guy that's under consideration. We'll have to see. Next up, got a quick call from Flavius in Indiana. He's calling to ask my thoughts and Raider Nation's thoughts on Micah Parsons if he's too risky for the silver and black. Here he is, Flavius in Indiana.
Hey, Q, this is your boy Flavius calling from Indiana. Hey, I was calling in regards to everybody wondering if Parsons is too much of a troublemaker to be drafted by the Raiders. Well, if you look at the history, recent history, actually, they did pick up Antonio Brown, and he was a big-time troublemaker. So on and off the field, I don't know. These are just allegations. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Okay, out.
There he goes. That's Flavius in Indiana. And really, that's the million-dollar question, you know. Is the risk worth the reward when it comes to Micah Parsons, you know? I like to give him the benefit of the doubt, say he was young and immature and made some mistakes. But, I mean, it's a risky take in round one, because if he pans out and he's a heck of a player, then you're a genius. But if all of a sudden he turns into Rolando McClain or worse, Reuben Foster, then you're like, what are you doing? Why were you doing that? And all these different players that you could have picked, and you picked the one with all the baggage, you know? So it's one of those things, man. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. It's really, you got to trust your evaluations. You got to trust your intel. And I don't know if the Raiders are going to do that or roll the dice like that, but we will see. From everything I know, he's a heck of a player. And now James Arcelana, he was a bigger fan of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah over Micah Parsons. He didn't think that Parsons played in coverage as well as Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I think that they're pretty close. And I know that Parsons is a heck of a player. So if he is there when the Raiders get on the board at 17 or on the clock at 17, it's something that they'll definitely have to consider. And, you know, we'll see the way they roll their dice. Do they trust themselves? Do they trust their intel? Do they trust their locker room to be able to help handle a Micah Parsons? That has remained to be seen. Next up, we got a text from Raider Rob in Pittsburgh. It says, Q, Raider Rob from Pittsburgh, I really enjoyed the podcast Locked On NFL with Chris on Friday. You rocked. You had me pounding my dashboard and yelling, that a boy, Q, don't let up. Chris is a good guy, but he still is a jag off. Pittsburgh vocabulary. Back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, the Steelers slogan was Steeler Country, and then the Jagoffs stole our slogan. Second, the Steelers do travel really well, but it's because they are mostly transplants from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has such bad weather, as soon as people have a chance to move, they do. Since the early 90s, the Steelers are not even the city's favorite sports team. It's been the Penguins with 5 championships to the Steelers 2. As far as the draft goes, I'm more worried than excited. This is my outlook for the first round. Worst case scenario, the Raiders reach for a defensive tackle or a defensive back. The most relieved scenario, they draft an offensive tackle. The most excited scenario is they draft the best defensive player available, or they either move up or down in the draft. You always say Tigers don't change their stripes. However, to turn this thing around, Gruden and Mayock will have to change their stripes. Like the sign, I will always take to every Raider game. There are only two nations, the United Nations and the Raider Nation. Let's get this right this time. That is from Raider Rob in Pittsburgh. Thank you for the text, my man. And yeah, Chris is a really good dude. And look, I wasn't trying to disrespect Pittsburgh Steelers fans because I realize that they travel really well. I just can't stand it. And I've been on record multiple times when all these different fan bases go out of their way and try to put Nation on the end of their name. It's just stupid. Like, I'm in Texas and I hear Cowboys Nation or I hear Baylor Nation. And I always say, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as that thing. So, you know, when he said that, and it was not something that we planned, when he said Steelers Nation, I was like, hold up, man. Hold up. I don't give a damn what you're talking about. Let's go ahead and cut this thing off. So I had to make sure I cut him off. But, yeah, he's a good dude, and I like doing the show with him, but I just can't let him get away with that. As far as the draft, man, you know, I kind of look at it the same way you do. You know, I think that they're probably going to go with a safe tackle or safe pick, that offensive tackle, and that's kind of why I did that in my mock draft for the Locked On Network. But then again, I mean, it's such a deep draft with tackles. Why not go and get the best defensive player available at number 17 or even move up and go get a difference maker? I mean, you could do that. And I live by the saying that Tigers never change their stripes. And so somehow the Raiders got to come up with some good picks and some good players that can turn this thing around and really help out Gus Bradley, help out the team in general, man. Just have some dudes. The team needs dudes. They lack dudes. They have some good players, but they need a few dudes. So thanks so much for that text. I definitely appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Cisco in the 661. He's calling to talk about the draft and his thoughts on what he's been seeing on multiple mock drafts. Here he is, Cisco out the 661.
What's up, Q? Raider Nation. It's Cisco in the 661. You know, best time of the year, draft time. Just want to call in and all the mock drafts and everything that I'm seeing either online or, you know, stuff that the analysts are talking about has the Raiders taking either a best defensive player, a safety tackle, and that all makes sense. Like, that's definitely what we need. I would go with a defensive player first round. But I wanted to kind of chime in, maybe get a little different perspective, a little different thought. What if really think the Niners might take that Alabama kid? You know, he took over that team once Tua got drafted and put up fantastic numbers, better numbers than Tua. So I think it won't be too far-fetched for him to go number three overall if the coach is loving him. So now it's Justin Fields that I'm a big fan of. He starts to fall. Carolina might have solved their quarterback issues for this season, so he might flip past them. Denver definitely has some weapons. So if they're feeling comfortable with Drew Lock, maybe they draft a lineman or go keep him there for another year. So now we're seeing either Trey Lance or Justin Fields start to fall into that double-digit round. Now there's a possibility of maybe trading with Dallas or any other team and not having to give up our future for it. Maybe just another first-round pick. Justin Fields is someone that I really like. He's a smart kid. Now, I don't think he's ready to play. I think he needs to go somewhere, sit a year or two. Raiders have not extended Derek Carr yet. You know, Gruden loves his quarterback. So maybe it's not too far-fetched if he's still there and then double-digit rounds come and they trade for him. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Maybe in a year or two, once Carr's contract is up, Justin Fields comes in. We didn't give up the whole future for him. And if the potential that he has might be worth the risk. So, yeah, let me know what you think, Q. Just a little different perspective. And at the end of the day, just no matter who we draft, they just got to pan out. And hopefully they just become good players. You know, we got a lot of criticism for Colton Miller, and he's looking like a pretty good pick. So hopefully we all go well. Just win, baby.
There he goes right there, Cisco in the 661. And, you know, that was something that, you know, we kind of talked about a little bit on Monday's show. You heard me talk about it a little bit with James, talking about the possibility of the Raiders making a move for a quarterback. And I said it, and I know I got some feedback, like, Q is not going to happen. They're not going to trade up and go get a quarterback. And they most likely won't, you know. But, again, in the scenario that you threw out there, if Dallas is on the clock at 10 and all of a sudden Justin Fields is still on the board, it's something you got to think about. I think that it's definitely something you got to think about because I do – well, first, I think that the Broncos Broncos would take him at number 9, but if for some reason they don't, and he's still on the board at number 10, I definitely think that the Raiders should consider it. You know, if they don't, I think the Patriots would at 15. You know, I mean, I think Justin Fields has an opportunity to be a really good player. I know I get a little worried with Ohio State quarterbacks, but I just think Justin Fields could end up being a really good dynamic dude, didn't have to play right away, could sit behind Carr. I wouldn't be mad at that. Now, I know that that would not be a guy that's going to help the Raiders get over the top this year, but I think it would get the fan base excited. I really do. I mean, most of the fan base, I think some of the fan base would be like, oh my gosh, can't believe you're going to do this. But, you know, I think that a lot of the fan base would be like, man, I can't wait to see what this kid could do. So anyway, it's just a scenario to throw out there, and it's draft time, so you never know how it's going to shake out, and you never know what player is going to be available a little bit later than you thought. So Cisco is definitely a thought. Absolutely. And I'm telling you, and I said it on Monday's show, the quarterbacks in the AFC West would be crazy good, right? I mean, obviously, Denver, you'd have to see what they're going to do with Drew Lock, but you could have Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Justin Fields all in the same division. Oh, man, the Broncos would be forced to have to do something in a major, major way. So thank you so much for that call, my man. I definitely appreciate you. That's really all I got time for on today's show. Had an extra long segment number 2, so that's why I wasn't able to get to a whole lot. But got a text from Sean from Dayton, Ohio, still on the way. I got, a call from Mike from Vallejo, a text from Raider Rashad, Jordan in Oregon, Andrew DeRaida, plenty of good stuff to get to, and we'll have it on tomorrow's show. Got a lot that we'll be doing this whole week, man, leading up to the draft on Thursday night, and of course, Friday will be rounds 2 and number 3 as well. So, man, this is a fun year, fun week, and Raider Nation, buckle up, because we're going to go hard in the paint here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Definitely appreciate all the feedback. Appreciate everyone who hits me up on Twitter, at your boy Q254, and everyone who listens to the show on the daily. So until then, Raider Nation, until tomorrow, make sure you take care of your family, love on each other, you know, be safe, do everything you can to make sure you guys stay safe, and as always, most importantly, just win, baby.